Over my years of living and serving God, I've been very privileged to travel to different parts of the world. I find it fascinating to be in different countries. Recently, my wife and I traveled to Singapore, and then we went to Thailand, and to Vietnam, and then to Hong Kong. And that visit made a big impact on me. And I want just to test your knowledge of some circumstances in the world this morning. So if the boys at the back give me my PowerPoint, you'll tell me the name of this bridge that comes up on the screen. Can you tell me? Somebody whispered? The Golden Gate, San Francisco. You are correct. It's a huge bridge. The span of that bridge is 4,000 feet. It was built in 1937. Next bridge. See if you guess this one. All you English people, eh? So proud. Tower Bridge. Did you know it is the most famous visited bridge in the world? It was built in 1886. And there are more people visit this bridge than any other bridge in the world. I've been there too. The next bridge. What's its nickname? Ah, that's got you guessing. Yes, son. No, that's a good attempt. The Harbour Bridge is the Harbour Bridge. But there's a nickname it has because of its shape. It's called the Coat Hanger. I've been there. Been on the bridge. You can actually walk over that bridge. If you're young, have you done that?
Yeah.
Must have been when you were young.
Last year.
Wow. It's amazing. It's a beautiful, beautiful harbour, Sydney Harbour. Next bridge, boys. Aha, this will get you guessing. Oh, this is romance, Tommy. The romance. Venice. Rialto Bridge. Built in 1591, long time ago. I've been there. The day we were there in Venice, it bucketed rain. It was a terrible visit. Anyway, that's the Rialto Bridge. Any more bridges, boys? One of the most famous, yeah? The fourth rail bridge with the road bridge and another one that's got to sink us for taxes when they get it built. One more bridge. Give us the picture. Bridge over the River Kwai. Anybody been there?
Yes.
You've been all over the world.
And no missionary.
And no missionary. Just wealthy. When we went to Thailand, to Bangkok, I had this in my mind. I said I would love to go to the site where the bridge over the River Kwai was built. And you know, on these ships that you travel, if you do a bit of holidaying on ships, they have some tours that rip you off. So Kathy and I usually do our own thing. And here there was a couple from Edinburgh sitting at the table, and they said they had a notion to go and see this bridge. I said, so have I. So if we go together and get a taxi, I'll negotiate the guy down to the lowest possible price that I can get. So we got a very good deal. And this taxi driver took us for 2 hours from Bangkok to the bridge. It was an unforgettable visit, I can tell you. Just before the bridge, there's a cemetery. We stopped and went into the cemetery. 7,000 young Allied soldiers buried in that cemetery because they died building this bridge. 1942, the Japanese who occupied that part of the world, they wanted to build a railway from Burma to Thailand. It's called the Death Railway. 250 miles through the most difficult terrain possible. Thousands and thousands of people lost their life in the building of that railway. The Japs treated them so brutally and cruelly, with no food and all the rest of it. And so 7,000 young soldiers, Allied soldiers, lost their life in the building of this bridge. And when I walked with Kathy up and down the rows, you know, of the little plaques, and read the names and the ages of boys from here, the regiment, the name and the age, 22, 24, whatever it was. Our hearts were just touched when you thought of the sacrifice and the price that was paid for this bridge to be built. And in the museum, they have one of the trains, even from that time, 1942, and part of the memorabilia. One of the soldiers involved in this was a man called Gordon, Ernest Gordon. And he was so weak in the building of the bridge and the lack of food and the lack of care, he came to a point of exhaustion, and the Japanese dumped him in what they called the death ward, where people didn't come out. They just buried them. But you know, in that little ward, two soldiers who were acting as nursing care decided to help Ernest Gordon, and they gave him 24/7 care. One was a Christian. One was a devout Roman Catholic. And the love and care shown to Ernest Gordon by these two men so impacted him, he became a Christian. And he accepted Christ. And he recovered. He was a member of the Argyll and Southern Highlanders. And he wrote a book of his own experience that was called Miracle on the River Kwai. Miracle on the River Kwai. And you know, I've thought a lot about this whole idea of a bridge and the sacrifice involved in someone dying in order to provide a bridge to get people from one side to the other. So when we were there, that's the old bridge, of course, from the film. There's still a bridge there and there's still a train that runs over it. And so we walked across the bridge. And I've thought a lot about it since I came back home. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning, not about Miracle on the River Kwai, but a miracle at the River Jordan. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in the Bible, there's a fascinating story in the book of Joshua. And if you want, when you go home, to read it in detail, do that. I will try and summarize the story so that we just keep our eye on the clock. The Jewish nation, as a nation, had been delivered out of Egypt by a wonderful miracle when God rescued them from slavery. And he brought them through the Red Sea. And the plan that God had was they would go into a new land and live and develop and enjoy this new land. Unfortunately, human nature being human nature, and nothing much has changed from their generation to ours, but they didn't just get to the promised land as quickly as God had intended. And they began to complain, and they began to rebel, and so God decided that they would have to wait for 40 years until the generation that rebelled and complained had gone. And a new generation had come up, and God said then they will be able to come into the land. And so we've arrived at a point in their history. History in nations is very important. That's why I recall 1942 and something of the liberty and liberation that comes in God's sovereign way in dealing in nations. And so the time has come in Joshua chapter 3. Where the nation has arrived at a point where they're ready to go into the promised land. But between them and the promised land, there is a river called the River Jordan. And how now will God get 3 million people across this river? It needs a miracle. It needs a miracle. And God's plan, I want to just share a little with you from the story. And then I want to apply it to the fact that God has a plan to get not just one nation, but every nation in the world across the Jordan River, which speaks of death. God wants to bring us through death to the promised land. And I tell you, my friend, this is an amazing plan. So we learn the lesson from the story and then we apply it to ourselves today. God says, Joshua, who was the leader, this is the plan. You will get these holy men who are priests, and they will carry on their shoulders a very sacred piece of furniture. It's called the Ark of the Covenant. It was the special piece of furniture that resided in what was called the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. It was the symbol of God and God's presence. It's very important. And so the plan was that the priests would carry this on their shoulder, and they would walk down and into the river. And as their feet struck the water, God would then open up the river and make a way. And they would go down onto the riverbed, and they would stand there with this ark on their shoulder, and there would be such provision, such a way opened up, that the whole nation would get through on dry ground and get into the promised land. That was the plan. And if you have to read the story in detail, you'll discover the plan worked. The plan worked. And it might have been a bit nervous for the men that was carrying the ark. Joshua said, here's the instructions. And what was needed on the part of the men carrying the ark was faith. They had to believe the message that came from God would work. And so as they set off, with the eyes of the whole nation on them, watching, because they had to be a certain distance back, not too near, just stand back a bit, and let the whole nation see these men on their behalf go down into the river. And as soon as they got near, because at that time it says carefully in the Bible, the River Jordan overflowed its banks. Rivers do that. If you live in Somerset, they know about that. And this river overflowed its banks. So there was a sense in which at the furthermost point of the overflowing, the water was quite shallow. It would just cover their ankles. And so as these men got nearer and nearer to the river and to the water, they might have been thinking, is this going to work? If we keep walking and go right down at the river, we'll be drowned with the weight of this ark on our shoulders. And as soon as their feet hit the water, God did a miracle. And he opened up the way. And the remarkable thing, the Bible is so careful, it says that where they were crossing was near Jericho. And the river opened up to a place 20 miles further upstream. So the gap was 20 miles. And the river went down into the Dead Sea. And so this gap was created by God. And the nation went through in safety. Read the story. It's a true story, though it's a miracle. What is the application for us this morning? God has a plan to build a bridge to get us through the river death. Here was God's plan. His plan was that Jesus Christ, his Son, would come from heaven to earth. And he would go down into the river of death. That was at Calvary. And so there came a moment when the Lord Jesus Christ went onto the cross. And on the cross and in the depths of his suffering, the Bible is careful. It says every wave and every billow went over his soul. He was completely overwhelmed with the pain and suffering of Calvary. God's plan was, in order for men and women to be saved, to be delivered, to be enabled to come through death safely, someone had to die. Die for our sin. And God in his love and in his grace was willing to send his Son to be our Savior and to go down into death itself. And so because of his sacrifice, God has built a bridge that brings man back into relationship with God and gives us indeed a highway that enables us. God, in a remarkable plan for the whole world, has created an opportunity for every person, regardless of their country or their creed or whatever nation, every nation can be saved through the work of Christ at the cross. You may recall, some years ago, in fact 25 years ago, there was a terrible accident on a ferry from Zeebrugge. You may recall that. Recently, it was reported in the newspapers because they had arrived at the 25th anniversary. This was a ferry coming over to Dover, and before it got out the harbour, it hadn't closed its gates properly, and so the water came on board, and it capsized within seconds. And as it was capsizing, and people, there was 186 people lost in that ferry. But there was a family there, a husband and wife and children and friends, that had gone over for the day. And this big man was 6'1". And he realized as the ship was capsizing that they were going to drown because of where they were on the ship. And he saw a gap that needed to be bridged in order for them to get to safety and to get saved. And his brain worked in such a way that he thought, I could be the bridge. And he lay down and he stretched with his feet on one side of this gap with his hands reaching over to this gap. He had enough height on his body to bridge the gap. And he said to his wife and children and to his friends, walk over the top of me and get to safety. Because they couldn't have jumped the distance and it was too dangerous. But he lay down and he became the bridge to save his family. And he was reported giving his recollections of that experience. He said, 20 other people came across my body and they got saved too. My friend, there is a man in heaven who said, I'll be your bridge. I'll be your bridge. That will take you from darkness to light. From death to life. From earth to heaven. I'm your bridge. I wonder, friend, if you've ever crossed that bridge by faith. You see, when the instructions came to Joshua, and he conveyed that to the whole nation, and to the priests that would carry the ark, they had a choice to make. To believe that this was God's message, and it was God's plan, and it would work. And they had to take the step of faith, and go down into the river. You may have heard many times, the plan of God's salvation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. And God has provided the way of escape. He's provided salvation for everyone. But you need to believe it. There's a step that you need to take. There is action on your part. To say, I believe. I believe. A huge decision sometimes for people to arrive at a point in their life and in their history. You may be young, you may, when I was 12, I made that step of faith. I accepted Christ. Laura was sharing about children. How valuable, how significant is the work with children? And even a small child can believe, accept the truth that Christ died for them. For their sin. And through that simple step of faith, a person is saved forever. Now, some of the friends who now reside in this posh area of the world, Peebles, used to live in the rough area called Lanarkshire. Hamilton, Lark Hall, rough areas. One of the little villages up in that area is called Ferny Gair. Many years ago, there's a little family lived there. Father was a miner. McKendrick was his name. He went to the pit, was involved in a pit accident and killed. He had 7 children. The oldest child was James. At that stage in his life, James was 21 years of age. The family was devastated with the father's death. It's amazing how God, in his sovereign dealings with us, allows good to come out of tragedies. And James McKendrick, in that little home that they had in Ferny Gair, he looked into the room where his father was lying in the coffin. And he thought, if that had been me, where would I be? He never smoked nor drank. He had lived a reasonable, clean, young life. But he knew in his heart of hearts he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't saved. He'd never accepted Christ as his Savior. And he knew from the teaching of the gospel that if you don't accept Christ, then you're not ready to get through the River Jordan. His father had crossed. And his father was safe in heaven, for he was a Christian. James said, if that had been me, where would I be? And he went out and he went for a walk. Down in a field he stood in a gate. And he remembered as a child the verse of scripture that he'd been taught. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. And with no one listening to him but God, he cried out aloud, Lord, I believe. I believe. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. James McKendrick went on to be one of the greatest servants of God in Scotland and in Northern Ireland. He went along the Murray Firth and villages up there. He saw hundreds of people converted. Things Seen and Heard is the title of a book that tells his life story. It's out of print, but it's a fascinating book. And it's an amazing story, but I wonder, friend, if it registers with you this morning. Has there been a moment in your life and in your history and experience where you've come to realize you need to believe? And from your heart, you've been able to say, Lord, I believe. Will you cross the bridge this morning? Will you take that step to get ready for the river? Because the old Negro spirituals would have helped us understand that the River Jordan was the river of death. It says in these Negro songs, a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. One of the verses says, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died for my sins to atone. Friend, it was John Wesley who said, when you come to die, make sure all you need to do is die.